Welcome to the North Point Community Church podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
Our verse for the year is found in Philippians 3. Verse 13 says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting those things that are behind you and straining forward to what is ahead. Forget about the relationships in your past and let's strain to make the relationships that we're in right now better. Let's strain for future relationships. Let's put those things behind us that are behind us, but let's also work hard and strain and strive for progress in our future.
And our goal as a church is to create Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And this is the truth, is that community is made up of relationships.
Yeah.
That's what a community is. A community is just made up of relationships. But our culture has produced a lot of broken relationships, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's produced a lot of broken families. It's produced a lot of broken friendships. It's produced a lot of brokenness. And so if we want to change our culture, we're going to have to change the way that we think about our relationships, our approach to relationships, the way that we act in our relationships. Because the Bible says this. It says that by this, all men will know that we are followers of Christ.
Yes.
By this. And you know what that this is? That we love one another. That we show love one to another. So what is that saying? That's saying that our relationships are supposed to be the biggest witness to the outside world of our faith. So if we don't value our relationships, if we don't value making our relationships fall in line with the Word of God, then we are missing out on our biggest culture-changing opportunity.
And our culture creates sick relationships, and that's why we have entitled this series The Relationship Prescription, because we believe that God provides a prescription, that He provides the answers, that He provides what we need, that we could have healthy relationships instead of sick relationships. And so for the next few weeks, today we're going to talk a little bit about dating, and the next week in marriage, and we're going to be talking about parenting. But at the core issue, all relationships have similarities. It doesn't matter if you're talking about dating relationships, if we're talking about marriage, if we're talking about parenting. They all go beyond that framework, because when you're talking about dating, you're just talking about beginning to engage in friendship and beginning to grow a friendship. When you talk about marriage, you're talking about nurturing a friendship. And so that can go across lines. Whenever you're talking about parenting, you're actually talking about mentoring and discipling and raising up. So there's going to be something for everybody as we talk through these specific issues.
But before we begin, let's lay the groundwork for what we believe about relationships here at North Point Community Church. So this is the first one. Relationships are important to God. Turn to somebody and say, relationships are important to God. See, Genesis 2, verse 18 says this. It says, the Lord God said about Adam, which was the first man that was created, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. See, it was God's idea that you be in relationship with other people. I've heard people say, well, I would do great if it wasn't for all the other humans. No. See, that's how it started. God said, here, I'm going to create one human, one man, and it's just going to be me and him. And God said that wasn't good. God said that was not good. Andy Stanley says it this way. He says, yes, it's true that in each of us there is a God-shaped hole that people cannot fill. But somehow, in his divine wisdom, God has also put in each of us a people-shaped hole that he has chosen not to fill. He intentionally put you in relationships. You can look here, John 15, verses 12 through 15. Jesus is talking, and he says this. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Look at this. Love each other as I have loved you. And then he says, everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. So what is he saying? Jesus is saying relationships are so important that one of the primary reasons I came to earth was to show you how to do them. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came to earth and he says, look, we've told you to love each other. You haven't figured it out. So now I have shown you how to love each other. Do it that way. Yeah. I came down from heaven, and one of my purposes was to show you how to do relationships. And this is the truth. If relationships are important to God, then relationships have to be important to us too.
And if we're going to lay this groundwork, the second thing that we need to know is that relationships will define our life. Relationships will define our life. Every wise sage has said something along the lines of this: show me your friends and I will show you your future. Tell me who you spend your time with and I will show you your future. Tell me who you get your advice from and I will show you your future. Tell me who you're spending your life with and I will show you what your life will look like in a few years. Why is that? Because one is that friends help you in times of trouble. Friends help you in times of trouble. This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One who has unreliable friends. Friends come to your need in times of trouble, but you know what also friends do? Friends can keep you in trouble. If you have unreliable friends, then when you walk through trouble, the reality is they're not going to help you get through trouble. They're in your life because they're going to lock you into trouble. And so that's why you have to make sure that you have the real friends in your life who are not going to keep you in trouble, but who are going to stick closer than a brother, who are going to lead you out of the desert and lead you out of the wilderness and lead you out of those tough places in life, because that's what friends are supposed to do. They're supposed to help you define your life by walking with you through trouble. Here's the second thing that friends do. Friends share the burden and lighten the load. Friends share the burden and lighten the load. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10 says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. You see, friends are there to help lighten the load. They're there to help you through the difficult seasons of life. They're there for you. But you know what the other kind of friend will do? The other kind of friend will put a heavier burden on you. If you get the wrong people in your life, they will actually put expectations and all kinds of things on your life that God never intended for them to be there. So you got to make sure that you're walking through life with the right people, because if you don't have the right people, you can't get to the right places, because they're actually weighing you down instead of helping you along the path. Your relationships will define your life. Here's the other thing that friends do. Friends help you grow and determine the direction you grow in. Friends help you grow, and they determine the direction you grow in. Proverbs 13:20 says this: he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You see, you can make your marriage better. You can make your relationships better by inviting people, by inviting couples into your life and into the relationship with you that maybe they have good marriages. They have something that you want. There's a characteristic about them that you admire. There is something inside of them that they have between them, and you want that in your life. And so that's why we are so big here about, hey, we need to be in community. Not that we're just coming and worshiping on Sunday morning, but you need to get into a small group. You need to get into a community of people that will say, hey, I want to help you, because I know this, is that the direction you grow in is going to determine the destination of your life. It's going to determine where you are going, and which direction that you're moving in is going to determine where you end up. And I want you to end up in success. Amen. So we have to guard our relationships.
And you may be saying, I thought that you were talking about dating. I mean, I had my pen and paper out because I am looking for a spouse. I need some details about where they hang out. Where are they? Where can I find them? Well, this is the thing, is that your friends often become your spouse.
Yeah.
Or they introduce you to your spouse. Or they introduce you to the place where you meet your spouse. So it's so important that you choose carefully. Providential relationships, according to Andy Stanley, is one of the five things that God uses to grow us in Him. So if relationships define our life, if you want a different life, then you probably need to be looking for some different relationships. You probably need to be looking to invite some additional relationships into your life. This is the third thing that we believe about relationships here. We believe that you can choose your relationships. You may say, Destiny, we know that. Arranged marriage isn't a good idea for anyone unless it's not yours, right? But that's the hardest thing for people to believe, that they really can choose their relationships. They can choose the defining relationships in their life. And it makes sense why, right? Because we are born into relationships that we just have to accept. Our biological family, our family of origin, right? We are born into relationships that we just have to accept. And then we're put by society into institutions with people that we didn't choose, like school. And we're told that these people that we are just arbitrarily placed into a classroom with are supposed to be our best friends. So we get this message all the way through that, you know what? You don't really get to choose your friends. No, instead, you know, life just kind of chooses them for you. And for some reason, this carries over sometimes even into our significant relationships, like our mentors and our closest companions and even our spouse. But the truth is that we can choose. And the Bible tells us to be choosy. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray.
And Destiny just said something about family of origin. There's a very important concept that Destiny and I have adopted into our life, and it comes from Pastor Keith Kraft, and he talks about your family of origin and your family of choice. Did you have two families? You have a family of origin. There is not anybody in here who determined what family they were born into. You didn't get a say. You didn't get to go, oh, yeah, I'll choose this family over here. I think I'll pick them. No, that's not how we got into it. You did not choose your biological mother and father. It didn't happen that way. There is a family of origin. You didn't get to pick your brothers and sisters. Some of you wish you could go back and had another opportunity to do that, but you didn't get that choice. Why? Because it's your family of origin. But there's a second family. There is a family of choice. There are two families that God gave you. God gave you your family of origin, and it's important. And then God gave you a family of choice. God said, I will let you choose your other family. I will let you choose your mentors. I will let you choose your brothers and sisters. I will let you choose those people that you are going to surround yourself with in the body of Christ. I will let you choose. It is the family of choice, and it's so vitally important, that concept. I love this quote that says this. God gives us relatives. Thank God we can choose our friends. But isn't that how we feel sometimes? That God gives us relatives. God gives us family of origin. Hey, but thank God we get to choose our family of choice. Thank God that we get to surround ourselves with people. Proverbs 13:20 says this. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Who you spend your, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Hang out with wise people and you will become wise. You want to hang out with fools, you will find yourself in trouble. You will find yourself walking down dead-end pathways. You will find yourself broke, busted, and disgusted. You will find yourself in places that you never, ever dreamed that you would be. Not only do you get to choose your relationships, but the great part is that you also get to choose to make your relationships better. Amen. You don't just get to choose the people in your life. You get to choose the relation. You get to choose to make the relationships that you're already in better. This is another quote I found this week. It says, find joy in everything you choose to do. Every job, relationship, home. It's your responsibility to love it or change it. You have the power to love it or change it. Now, you can complain about it. You can gripe about it. You can make excuses for it. But you have the power and the ability to either fall in love with it, or you have the power and ability to begin to bring change. You see, we can change and improve by changing our approach to relationships. You don't have to wait for the other person to make the relationship better. You can do that. You can be the change agent in relationship. You don't have to keep waiting for them to respond different. You don't have to keep waiting for them to say things different. You don't have to keep waiting for them to change their approach. You can change your approach. And by changing your approach, you can begin to change the nature of your relationship.
You know, and I love that concept of being able to choose the people in your life. And you may be saying, well, does that mean I just start from scratch and push everybody out here and go, okay, now who do I want? No, this is what's so great is I wake up every morning and I choose Philip. I choose him. So good. And do you know what that gives me? That gives me power and energy in our relationship. Because I go, you know what, Lord? I choose today to love him. I choose for him to be my friend. I choose for him to be part of my family. I am active in this. I'm not just passive. I'm not just accepting the fact that we're married and we're going to stay married. I'm not just passive and saying, oh, well, you know, he's in my life. I guess I'm going to have to make the best of it. No, I'm actively choosing and saying, you know what? Not only am I choosing you, but I'm choosing to love you better today. I'm choosing to get better in our communication. I'm choosing. So that's why this choosing part is so important. So let's talk about dating. Let's talk about dating. The most important relationship in our life is going to be our spouse, right? They're the one that we spend the most time with. They're the person who is most intimately involved in most of our big decisions. But the principles for choosing friends, mentors, family of choice are very similar. So whether you've chosen your spouse or you hope one day, and we have people who just, fingers crossed, to choose their spouse, this message has something for you. So, what you do, we believe, right? What we do comes from how we think. So, we need to examine how we think about the choosing process. Philip and I started dating when I was very young, and we dated for 7 years before we got married. And I love the way that we started dating, or the way that we really became friends. We were at a caroling party, Christmas caroling, you know, back in the day when people didn't have cell phones and email and text and all of these. We actually had to get together and do things. And so our youth group had a caroling party, and we had agreed like a week before to meet up at this party. And we went there, and Philip sang, and I don't know how I didn't go running for the hills right then. But I didn't. I endured it. And at the end of the night, we ended up sitting in our youth pastor's house, and we started talking to each other. And it was the first time we'd ever had a conversation. We started talking about God. We started talking about life. And we started talking about relationships. And we started talking, I thought it had been about 30 minutes. And our youth pastor came back and goes, you guys got to go. I was like, well, that's rude. You know, I mean, we've only been here. He said, you have been here for 5 hours. It's 1 a.m. My kid wants to go to sleep. Get out of my house. And we had this incredible and wonderful and beautiful connection. But the reason I tell that story is this, is that that was a beautiful moment. That was that beautiful connection. But where we go from the connection moment onward is our choice. Are we going to do it by default? Are we going to do it by where our emotions drive us? Or are we going to do it by design?
And so I would just want to give you three things, how to think about your relationship. And I entitled this, How to Date Your Destiny. Aha, you see what I did there. Uh-huh, you knew I was going to slide something clever in there. How to date your destiny. Here's number one. Think mission. Think mission. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? You don't need to spend your time dating and engaging in relationship towards marriage with somebody who is an unbeliever. Light has nothing to do with darkness. And as that applies to dating, it also applies to friendship. Close friendship, as Destiny just corrected me. Close friendship. Would you like to share this point, babe? Here, right here in the relationship series, would you like to let everybody know exactly the way that I should have said that? I'm so sorry. Apologize. This is a real relationship series, folks. Just a moment. We'll go behind the scenes with Pastors Philip and Destiny. What do you mean? Praise God. And here's the mission of our life and the mission of every relationship should be about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That is the mission. And if you are thinking about marriage for yourself, if you're thinking about marriage for your own fulfillment, if you're thinking about what marriage can give you, then you are missing the point. Whenever you begin to date and begin to get in those close, intimate relationships, you've got to get into it with the mindset of I'm thinking about my mission. I'm thinking about reaching the world for the cause of Christ. I'm thinking about, is this union going to do something to make the light of Jesus shine brighter? What is this union going to do to get the message and the hope of the gospel out into the world? This isn't just about me finding a partner and settling down. No, because I'm thinking about my mission and I'm looking for somebody that I can team up with that is going to shout the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's going to shine the light into a dark and hurting world. And that will only happen when you think mission. When you stop thinking about yourself and you start thinking mission. John 3:3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nobody can see the kingdom of God. Now, as a believer, you say that your life is built around the kingdom of God. As a believer, you are one who is supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God. So how could we get in relationship with somebody who doesn't even see what you're saying you're building your life on? That doesn't even make sense. Why would I engage in relationship and be looking to a future together with this person and they can't even see what I'm talking about? They can't even see the most important thing in my life. And if they're not born again and if they're not in loving relationship with Jesus, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And if they can't see the kingdom of God, then they can't think mission because they have no kingdom to advance and they have no message to preach. And so as you start looking for a spouse, as you start looking for somebody to walk that line with, you've got to make sure that you yourself are thinking about the mission.
And this is the truth. If you don't think mission, you won't stay on mission. And that's the truth.
That's good.
If you don't think mission in your relationships, you will not stay on mission because we weren't meant to do this alone. We were not meant to do this alone. We were meant to do this life. We were meant to build the kingdom together. And so we have to think about what the goal is.
Yes.
Is the goal to find a hot girl? Is the goal to find a rich guy? Is the goal to be happy and fulfilled? Is that the goal of dating and connecting to people? No, the goal is to build the kingdom of God.
Yes.
See, no longer is it, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
It's what can we do for the kingdom together?
What
can our lives be about? And see, that's to me the crux of this whole deal, is that if you have the opportunity to get into a relationship where you are focused on a mission together,
yeah,
you have a much bigger success at being successful in that relationship.
That's right.
Because you're not looking at each other and saying, give me, give me, give me, fulfill me, fulfill me, fulfill me. You're saying, grab my hand and let's run as fast as we can towards the goal of the prize of,
yes,
of striving towards,
yes,
God's calling in our life.
Yes.
There's a lot to do. I'm a better person because from the very beginning, Philip has kept me on mission. He's kept me on mission. Now, I was a good Christian, but I could get swayed a little bit. And he'd go, Destiny, are you thinking about the mission? Are you thinking about what it is to live a life that's completely sold out to God? Are you thinking about what we can do for the kingdom? And in his life, when things would come and try to get him off, Philip, that's not who we are. We've built our relationship on Jesus. So we help each other to stay on mission. Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Carolina Lee watches Disney movies all the time, and now I find myself having to turn them off and going, hey, listen, so you know what they said about you jump off of the boat and you swim into the jungle to hang out with Tarzan because you love him? That's not really the way that relationships should work. Like, he doesn't have a lot to offer there, and you shouldn't just define all your life choices by your emotional state. And she's looking at me like, Mom, he's got vines and they swing. It's awesome, you know? But all of society tells us that our relationships should be defined by our emotions. But the Bible tells us that our relationships should be dictated and defined by our mission.
Yes, yes.
And that's very,
right, that's
very
right,
different.
Right. Good.
The second thing that you need to think mission, and then you need to think future, because your future will be determined by those that let you into your life. Proverbs 22:24-25 says this, don't befriend angry people or associated with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. You will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Whenever I'm talking to people about their life, I say, you got to be careful who you let in, because they will not just teach you how to be like them, but they will excuse the things in you that you know you need to change.
That's right.
And that's not what you want. You want people who will confront you, who will speak the truth in love. Philip says it this way, if you don't want to be like them, then you shouldn't like them. I like that. If you don't want to be like them, then you shouldn't like them. My mom would say, if you aren't happy with all your children turning out exactly like them, don't even go on a date, because they will.
Wow.
Anyway,
wow.
If they don't have something you want in your life, then you shouldn't want them in your life. Isn't that so important? And yet we held on to intimate, toxic friendships.
Yeah.
And we hold on in the dating season to relationships that feel good, that look good, that make us feel better about ourselves, but they aren't about our future.
And we have to always think about future. You know, oftentimes in relationships, especially in dating, we are either intentionally or maybe even purposefully nearsighted, meaning that we can see what's up close very clearly, but we're not looking very far down the road. And maybe because we don't want to, because this person makes me feel valued, or they make me feel loved, or they make me feel heard. And so I can only see short. But the reality is they're having outbursts of anger, and I've already called them lying 3 or 4 times, but they make me feel so good up close. And I'm not looking at the consequences of continuing a life with this person down the road. And so I must begin to not just think about what is this person giving me right now, but what is this going to look like in a year from now? What's this going to look like 5 years from now? What's this going to look like 10 years from now? I've got to begin to think future and to look down the road and to say, where is this relationship taking me? Because the Bible makes this very clear in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You need to be sharper. You need to be better. And if you are with a deadbeat, if you are with a sorry, silly putty type of a person, I'm telling you right now, it is not going to make you sharper. You are not going to benefit. You've got to think to the future and to not just say, what is this going to look like, but what is this person going to make me? Am I going to be better? Am I going to increase my capacity for growth? Am I going to be stretched? Am I going to be challenged? Are all these things going to happen in me? And I can tell you, as Destiny told you, our story of sitting down after we got out, finished caroling, because it started raining on us and we had to go inside. And as we were talking, this was the thought that I left that house with that night, is I have never met anybody in my life who has challenged me like she challenged me. And I thought, man, if she challenged me that much in a 4 or 5 hour conversation, man, then she's going to challenge me every day. She's going to make me better. She's going to send me on a journey that's going to cause me to be sharper and to be better. And that's what we have to do. We have to think future in our life. Here's the third thing. You have to think realistic. You've got to think about your mission. You've got to think about the future. And you've got to think realistic. You've got to think realistic. No one is going to meet all the needs in your life. No one is going to meet all the needs in your life. And if you found someone who could, the likelihood of them loving you and wanting to spend the rest of their life with you would be slim to probably none. Y'all didn't think that was funny. I thought that was really funny. I laughed when I wrote that down. But anyway, well, everyone has gaps. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone is going to have issues in their life. Nobody is going to meet all of your needs. Nobody is going to fit every criteria of your list. There is no Superman and Wonder Woman out there. They do not exist. And we must learn to love others in the way that you want them to love you, because you know all the issues that you have. You know all the tendencies that you have. You know all the holes that are in your life. And if you want somebody to give you grace for your mess ups, then you need to also understand that you must be willing to give other people grace. And you've got to be realistic in the pursuit of your spouse. You've got to be realistic in who you're looking for, because if you keep looking for the perfect person, you will never ever find them. It's not going to happen. So we need to be realistic. You know, many times we love like this: take me as I am, but for you, you need to change just about everything. And that's unrealistic. When we get into dating relationship, we need to walk into that relationship with a realistic perspective that says, I know I'm not perfect, but I want to be better. I know you're not perfect, but I want to help you get better. Together, we are going to walk this journey of life. Together, we're going to sharpen one another so that we can become the best that we can be as individuals and the best that we can be together. But that only happens when you start thinking realistic.
And I'll ask the musician to come right now. You also need to think realistic about yourself. Mm. You know, we've been talking a lot about thinking about the other person, but you need to think realistic about yourself. I can't tell you how many young women that I counsel, and they do not find themselves worthy of love. They don't find themselves worthy of somebody caring about them. And so they constantly reject people in their life before that person has a chance to reject them. You're not going to connect with the right people in your life, the people who are going to sharpen you, the people who are going to change your life for the better, if you live life with this lens of rejection, this lens of failure, this lens that says, I'll never be good enough. I don't deserve real love. I don't deserve to be treated well. I don't deserve any of those things. Guess what? None of us do.
Yeah, so good.
None of us do.
That's so good.
You know, it's true. As Christians, we're not perfect people. We're just people who have adopted the identity of being loved by God. We've said that's what is going to define me. We can't live life afraid of rejection. When we believe the right things about relationships, we put ourselves in a position to begin thinking the right way about choosing relationships. And that's what dating is, ultimately. It's about choosing.
Yeah.
It's about choosing your spouse. It's about choosing who to love for the rest of your life. But we never stop choosing. We never stop choosing the influences in our life. We never stop choosing our mentors. We never stop choosing the people who are alongside us. I've watched some of the most difficult marriages. Marriages that honestly I was going, man, I don't even have an answer. I've watched them be radically changed by inviting another couple into their life who thought about marriage the right way. Who you invite to walk alongside you is going to make such a difference. And, you know, there's no connection that'll change your life more than your connection with God. And it would be so sad if today we just talked about our horizontal connections. We just talked about choosing your spouse, because whether or not you choose God is going to determine whether any of this works. And this is great news. If you choose God and you bring Him alongside your current choices, it doesn't matter how difficult they are. He can change things. He can change you. He can change your relationships. He can influence you. All the things we talked about, He can put you on mission. He can change your future. He can help you to love in a realistic way where you're not expecting your spouse or your friends to change and to become who you need them to be, but instead you're loving them for who they are. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to ask you to stand with us right now. You know, some of you are in that season of life, that exciting season of choosing. It's a wonderful season, the choosing season, but you've been thinking about it the wrong way. You've been thinking about it the wrong way, and today I just want to give you an opportunity to surrender your thoughts and to take God's thoughts. Say, Lord, I've been looking for somebody who made me feel good, but I want to find somebody who furthers your mission. I want to find somebody who's going to lead me into the future that I'm supposed to have. I want to love somebody with your love. But maybe you've already chosen your spouse, but you need to re-choose them. You need to choose them with different eyes. You need to choose them and say, I love you, not because it's written on paper that I have to, not because I don't believe in divorce, not because of any of those things, but because I want to be on mission with you, because I want to help us build a future that's better than anything we could have ever imagined, because I want to love you for you, believing that God is going to change you in any way that you need to change. You can just bow your heads for just a moment.